Well, good morning. Morning, everyone. Nice to see all of you once again. You know, Christians have often wondered why we have suffering and we go to through trials. In 1 Peter 4, the fourth chapter, Peter was talking to Christians about not being surprised. They were thinking the same thing. They were wondering, why are we going through trials? So he tells them that not to be surprised that they were going through fiery trials sometimes. That they were going, that he reminds them that they must suffer for the glory of God just as Christ did. And we'll go to this chapter later in just a minute. But in verse 15, he tells them the suffering they might be going through should not be the result of some evil thing that they did. And it should not be the result of something evil that they did. And if it's the result of being a Christian, then they should not be ashamed, but should glorify God. In other words, suffering in Christ is normal because it has a helpful purpose. But suffering because of something bad that we chose to do, and then we have a problem, should cause us to be ashamed. So trials for believers should be expected. Let's read now in 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. Right after Hebrews and James, 1 Peter 4:17. First Peter 4, verse 17. And it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Now we'll just get the first part. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And it's, he says something very interesting. This phrase that he uses, that judgment should begin at the house of God. And you know, usually when we hear the word judgment together with God, we tend to think that it's some kind of punishment and that we should be fearful of God. Especially when we hear or read the words eternal judgment. Now, but us as Christians are under judgment of God. Now, David Johnson has a very good sermon on this subject, on the subject of eternal judgment. And I listened to it, I don't know, a few months ago. And then I was making my sermon head and I thought about it and I couldn't find it. I went through all on the internet and I just couldn't find it. Then my wife found it on Life, Hope, and Truth website. And it's a very good sermon. For those who think, you know, as sometimes we think that eternal judgment is something really bad. Although in the end it will be, because I'll explain what judgment means in 4:17 for us as Christians. But there is different meanings for judgment in the Bible. So this morning we read 1 Peter 4:17, and let's see. And it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." Now, in the Protestant churches, this word is used to put fear in people, to make them come to Christ. I remember sometimes I've heard John Hagee, have you ever heard of him? He's got a mean-looking face. He's got a mega church in San Antonio. He's got a mean-looking face, and then he talks about condemnation, damnation, hell, and judgment. And he tends to put fear in the audience, you know. And I don't think I could ever listen to him for a whole hour or for a whole sermon. I've heard little pieces and I just turn him off, you know. But I know that's the way he is. But that's the way they are. I mean, his sermons are like fire and brimstone kind of sermons. And but in the Nelson Study Bible, it says, "Judgment does not always imply condemnation in Scripture." I'm quoting, "When used in relation to Christians, it consistently refers to the evaluation of a believer's works for the purpose of reward." So judgment in this verse means the process of evaluation leading to a decision. And I'll give you some examples in just a minute. In other words, judgment here has two facets. First, it has to do with an evaluation or an examination process. Second, this evaluation process leads to a decision or an end result. One example for the first aspect, which is the evaluation process, could be of a high school football coach. The coach evaluates the players as they practice in the field. He encourages the ones that are doing good, and the ones that are doing not so good, he puts them through difficult drills or special training. And his purpose in evaluating the players is so that each one can reach their potential, not to punish them, but for them to reach their potential. In a similar way, Christ is judging or evaluating members of his church. Now, this process of judgment has begun in the church, but will also come to others later. Christ is watching over us and determining whether we need to be encouraged or if we need a little trial now and then. So we as Christians should not be surprised if we go through trials, but rather we should rejoice, as James says, because we know Christ loves us and he wants us to improve. This is the only time we will go through this process as Christians. This is our time. Now is our time. It is our chance to produce fruit and grow towards maturity. So this evaluation process is the first aspect of judgment. The second one is the decision made after the evaluation process. An example of this would be like judges in the on TV programs such as Dancing with the Stars or what's the other one, American Idol. After evaluating the contestants, the judges make a decision. The decision made is not to condemn the participants, but to award them a prize. In the Olympics, judges award the contestants with either a gold medal, a silver medal, or a bronze medal. It's first place, second place, and third place. And all these contestants are judged on by a standard of rules. The same standard applies to all the contestants. So God also uses a standard to judge us, and that would be the Bible, the Word of God, Biblios, which means the books of the Bible. That's what he uses. So God uses this standard to judge everyone equally, whether it's the church now or in the white throne judgment after the millennium. Our judgment is an ongoing day-to-day process that affects us in some way every day and won't end until we die. It's an ongoing process. God will always judge us on what we know and what we understand regarding the truth, and on action, attitude, and what we say and do. In conclusion, we know we are under judgment. God is working with us through trials, and some are hard, some are fiery ones, but he wants us to fulfill our calling. We must do our part. So what is the end result of all this? Let's go to Matthew 25 for our last scripture. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we'll read verse 34, I'm sorry. So it's 25:34. And it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" So the end result of our judgment is that God will welcome us into his kingdom and grant us eternal life and other rewards that he has promised. This has been the whole purpose from the beginning, and he will bring it to pass.